This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa min ayatihi khalqus samawati wal ardi wa ikhtilafu al-sinatikum wa alwanikum. Sadaqallah, Sadaqallah al-Mawlan Azim. My dear brothers and sisters, I have read to you a verse from Surah Rum. Rum. That is chapter 30 from the verse number 22. Surah Rum. You can find it in the Holy Quran, as I explained previously, through the index. Look for Rum, R-U-M, Rum, or chapter 30. Verse 22, you can find this very easily. And in it, Allah Bari Ta'ala tells us that among His signs, wa min ayatihi, among His signs, the miracles of God's creation, khalqu samawati wal ard, that is the creation of the heavens and the earth. These are His signs of a masterful creator. How the systems work. These are signs for a people of understanding in it. And wakhtilafu, and the variations, al-sinatikum, of your languages, is also, there are signs, the miracles of God's creation. Inna fi dhalika, in these are, la-ayatil lil-alameen, are signs for a people of understanding, people of learning, people of wisdom, and these are signs for them of a masterful creator, of a wonderful creator. Now, among these signs, I'm going to deal with languages today. Languages. You see, languages, as Allah says, there are a miracle of God's creation. But they do not appear to us, so we take things for granted, number one. Number two, when languages which we have not heard, which we have not experienced, they sound funny to us, they sound silly to us. And I was illustrating this point to an audience of mine in South Africa, in Cape Town, where most of the Muslims from Southeast Asia, from Malaysia and from Indonesia, they live. Some 300 years ago, they were taken there as prisoners of war, and they were sold to the white man in South Africa as slaves. Now, this was my predominant audience of Malays. We call them Malays, the so-called Malays in South Africa. And I was illustrating to them that language is a miracle of God's creation. Different nations have different theories. We will not go into the other theories. But the Quranic fact, as given by Allah, is that this language is the creation of Allah. It is not your own invention. It's a miracle. And it is His miracle, His mu'jiza. So I said, now look, I'm speaking to you people English. Does it sound silly or funny to you? They said, no. It seems normal, natural. And they speak Afrikaans as a home language, so I gave a smattering of Afrikaans to them. I said, does that sound silly or funny to you? And they said, no, because they also use, they are, most of the Muslims I'm talking about, they are bilingual. They speak English and Afrikaans equally well. Then I quoted them in Zulu. I said, Pegani izandla zami nezinyawo zami, ukuthi yimina uqobo, ngiphatheni nibone, ngokuba ithongo alinanyama namathambo, njengokuba ningibona nginakho. I said, does that sound silly or funny to you? But I said, what I want you to do, I'm going to give you samples from different languages. At the end of it, I'm going to ask you, which is the silliest and funniest language of them all? So saying, I quoted them this language I just read to you now, is Zulu. Then I quoted Swahili. Tazameni mikono yangu na migu yangu. Yaguwa ni mimi mwenyewe. Mshigeni mwone. And so on. Then I quoted them Indonesian. But they didn't know that I was quoting them Indonesian. So I said, Tenggokla tanganku dan kakiku, inila aku sendiri, jamahla aku dan lihatla, karena hantu tiada berdaging dan tulang, seperti yang kamu lihat ada padaku. And they all burst out laughing. It was a big joke. So I asked my audience, the packed city hall, I said, tell me now, which is the silliest and funniest language that I have recited to you so far? And they all voted for the last one, the Indonesian. So I said, shame on you. I'm telling my audience, shame on you. This is your mother tongue. How can you say that your language is the silliest and funniest of them all? I said, the reason is that for 300 years you didn't hear the language, your own language. You cut off from your motherland, 300 years, you never heard the language. And there are 10,000 miles away from where you are, no chance of hearing it. So to you now, your own mother tongue, because you didn't hear it, your people didn't hear it for 300 years and 10,000 miles away from where you are now, that sounds to you like the silliest and funniest language of them all. But if it was your mother tongue, and if you knew your mother tongue, the Arab will never say Arabic is the silliest and the funniest. The Chinese, no man have it sounds tingling, but the Chinese will never say that his language is the silliest and the funniest. Each and everyone will testify that my language is the sweetest language of all languages. It is the best language of all languages. This is human nature. So, I have been using this. It is a beautiful illustration to show that languages are beautiful and they are miraculous. But to learn a foreign language, I find that my Arab brethren, the students, they find certain difficulties. More especially when they go outside, they learn English grammar here before going to America for further studies or before going to Britain for further studies. They study grammar, they learn vocabulary. And when they land in that place, I was at a youth conference, students, Muslim students from all these foreign lands. And when they were questioned regarding the problems first year, what is the most serious problem that the student faces. So every student, almost 100%, said, number one, language. The first problem you are facing in the foreign land is language. Second year, again, number one is still language. Third year, still, problem number one is language. And from the third year onwards, the positions change. Your other problems might take priority, but language has been the foremost problem of the Arab when he goes outside. So I'm suggesting that, you know, there is a method of learning. And my method was, as you saw, I was using actually the Christian Bible. I know the Bible extensively in English. So what I do is, I get a Bible in another language and I learn the verses that I already know. So it makes it doubly easy for me to learn. But now, am I going to suggest to the Arab that he goes and gets a Bible and learn it through my system? I said, no. You also have something similar in your hand, and that is the Holy Quran. What you do is, there are verses that you know by heart. And the students in Dahran University, I was suggesting to them that whether they know these Quranic verses, which I quoted to them. So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So, وَإِسْطَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اسْتَفَاكِ وَتَحَّرَكِ وَاسْتَفَاكِ عَلَى نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ. I asked the students whether they knew this verse. And almost 100% they put up their hands that they knew. I said, are you all Hafizul Quran? They says, no. But somehow, the Muslim seems to know the Quran quite extensively by heart without knowing that he's Hafiz. He's not a Hafiz al-Quran. He might not be able to read from one end to the other, but he knows so much here, there. So I said, now what you do is you take that verse. وَإِسْقَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمُ And you get a translation, an English translation, like this one. I was suggesting again and again, get this one. And learn the meaning side by side, memorize the meaning. Said, behold, the angel said, O Mary, inna Allah astafaki, that God Almighty has chosen thee, wastafaki ala nisa'il alameen, chosen thee above the women of all nations. Memorize the English part now, and on and on. And when you have finished memorizing, ya Maryam uknuti li rabbiki wasjudi warka'i marraqa'in, say, O Mary, worship thy Lord devoutly. Prostrate thyself and bow down in prayer with those who bow down. Verse by verse. The Arabic you already know. If you haven't, brush it up. And the English, memorize the meaning. Now, once you do that, you will have endless opportunities of speaking these words to your fellow countrymen who are non-Muslims, from America, from Britain, who speak English. He says, you know, we believe in Jesus. He says, do you? He says, yes. He says, you know what the Quran says? He says, no. He says, and you start. وَإِسْقَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمُ He says, behold, the angel said, O Mary, and on and on. So what you are doing now, you are rehearsing the signs of Allah, the words of Allah, and now you are translating it in English, and you are getting an opportunity of practicing. And I assure you, My dear brother, there's endless blessings attached to that. Just the mere reading of the Tilawat-e-Quran is blessings. And now you're sharing it, your English will improve, and you will have more and more confidence. So with this, I say, wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In South Africa, where I come from, in that ocean of Christianity, we have to present Islam, as Allah Bari Ta'ala tells us in the Holy Quran, so udu ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati. So invite all to the ways of thy Lord with wisdom. Wal maw'izatil hasanati, and with beautiful preaching, wajadilhum billati ahsan, and reason with them in the ways that are best and most gracious. And this tartib, this method, this approach that we have developed in South Africa, which we believe is Quranic, speaking to a people according to their own background and experience. And the majority of the people we come across are people with a background of the Bible, what they say, the Holy Bible of the Christians, the Holy Bible. This is their background. So whenever we want to approach them, when we want to talk to them, they say, my Bible says this, or my Bible says that, my Bible says this, or my Bible says that. So, because of the knowledge of the Bible, they are, the bulk of the people, are one book professors. They know only about the Bible. So what we have to do, and which we are doing in South Africa, we have published books under the title, What the Bible Says About Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Christ in Islam, Jesus Christ in the house of Islam, what is his position? Now, we give references from the Holy Bible, the Christian Bible, which is common to both the Jews and the Christians. And we say, look, the Holy Prophet Muhammad was foretold in your own book. So they say, where? This we get our cue, our direction from the Holy Quran, where Allah says, قُلَ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ كَانَ مِنْ إِنْدِ اللَّهِ. He says, do they not see this book, the Quran, whether it be from Allah? قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ كَانَ مِنْ إِنْدِ اللَّهِ وَكَفَرْتُمْ بِهِ, and they disbelieve in it. وَشَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِّنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ عَلَى مِثْلِهِ, when a witness from among the children of Israel, from the Bani Israel, bore witness of one like him. One like him. Now, who is this witness from among the Bani Israel who testified, who prophesied, who made basharat about the coming of our Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? They say, we haven't got anything like that in our book. This is a tall claim made by the Muslims. There's something in our book. There is nothing in our book. So we have to refer to them, and we refer to them in the first portion of the Bible called the Torah, the Pentateuch. There are five books attributed to the Holy Prophet Moses. This is not really the Torah, but the Christians and the Jews, they say, this is the Torah. We say, in that fifth book of this five books, called the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verse 18, it says, I will raise them up a prophet. I, God Almighty talking, he said, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, like you, like Moses. وَشَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِّن بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ عَلَى مِثْلِهِ, the Quranic verse. The Bible says, مِثْلَكَ. He says, like unto thee, like you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Now we say, who is that prophet? مِثْلَكَ, like you. And this verse, you know, when it is quoted in Arabic, from the Arabic Bible, produced by the Christians, from the Bible societies, we are able to buy these Bibles in a 1,000 different languages. I had to purchase one in Arabic to learn this, to see how does it read in Arabic. And I read it and I learned it. It says, Uqimu lahum, I'm quoting the Bible now, Uqimu lahum nabiyyan min wasati ikhwatihim mislaka. Uqimu lahum nabiyyan min wasati ikhwatihim mislaka. Faaj'alu kalami fi famihi. Fayakallamahum bi kulli ma usihi bihi. وَيَكُونُ أَنَّ الْإِنسَانَ الَّذِي لَا يَسْمَعُ لِكَلَامِي يَتَكَلَّمُ بِهِ بِإِسْمِي أَنَا أُطَالِبُهُ. That, and it shall come to pass, that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, Allah Bari Ta'ala is saying, that when he, that prophet who comes, like Moses, speaking in my name, he said, I will require it of him. In the Catholic Bible, the words are stronger. He says, I will take revenge, vengeance from him, Allah Bari Ta'ala, in the Christian Bible, He's promising vengeance, revenge. Anybody who will not hearken unto my message, which that prophet will speak in my name, He says, I will take revenge. Now we ask, who is that prophet? So they say, Jesus. So we question, how is Jesus like Moses? And we present our case, and we have produced a booklet. The booklet that, who is this prophet like Moses? I show it to you. Here, this booklet here, which is what the Bible says about Muhammad. Here we give you the Quranic verse and the tafsir by using the Bible and show more than 15 different reasons why this prophecy, this Basharat, in the verse that I have quoted, that it does not refer to Jesus Christ, but it refers to the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In that we do not mean, we do not claim, we do not say that Jesus was not the Messiah. We say He was the Messiah, and there are 100 prophecies about His coming. But this one in particular, Deuteronomy 18:18, refers to the Holy Prophet Muhammad, and does not refer to Jesus. And it is doing a beautiful job. And this booklet is to be translated into the Zulu language, into the Afrikaans language. And we learn this, like for example, this very verse. I learned it in Arabic because I had a motive. And the motive was, long before this turmoil in Lebanon, I had an aspiration to go to Lebanon and speak to the Lebanese Christians. And if I could quote in Arabic, I, coming from South Africa, though I read the Quran and I am able to learn and memorize certain words and expressions which I'm giving meaning from the translation, I do not know Arabic as a language, unfortunately. I'm ashamed of it, that I do not know Arabic as a language. But when I quote this to the respective language group, in his language, in his mother tongue, I can see the impact that it has, which in a foreign language it doesn't hold. So I learned in Arabic with the idea of going to Lebanon and talking to the Arab Christians and proposing these verses to him and reasoning with them. In English, of course, I'll deliver my lecture, but quoting the verses in Arabic. Then I wanted to go to Israel, talking to the Jews, so I learned it in Hebrew. Amazing, you know. I learned it in Hebrew. It says, Navi akim lahim mikarev akhayhim kamokha vinatati before with the bir. I quote it in Hebrew. I quote it in Afrikaans. I quote it in Zulu. I quote it in a dozen different languages. This is my hobby, my pastime, that whenever I go to a new country, I try to get a smattering of that language that I can win the hearts and minds of the people by delivering this message of Islam to them. So, in this verse, it says that prophet will come speaking in my name. And this is so beautifully demonstrated from the Quran. In this Quran especially, I open from the right at the end, where we have all the small surahs. The small surahs of the Quran, beginning, Kul a'udhu birabbin nas, Kul a'udhu birabbil falak, Kul huwa Allah, Tabbat yada. And in this translation, every page is a new surah. And I open the page, for example, here. I open the page beginning with Surah Nas. And so it begins. So Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. Next page. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. Next page. Bismillahir Rahman. Every chapter of the Holy Quran begins with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. It's amazing. It's amazing that every chapter, every page from the end, if you start showing it to the Christian and the Jew, you say, look, every page begins in the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. And the Bible says that it will come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. In whose name is Muhammad speaking? He is speaking, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. And this is a fulfillment of a prophecy to the letter, to the T. And if we can only demonstrate to our fellow countrymen and our visitors and our tourists and our fellow workers, inshallah, you will be able to do a job of work far more readily, far more effectively, if you can present the Quran to them. وآخر الدعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In this ocean of Christianity, South Africa, where I come from, we are asked numerous questions. Like, for example, they would like to know what is the relationship between Islam and the other religions. We say, and rightly so, that Islam is not a new religion. It is actually a continuation of the teachings of Moses, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, and Jesus, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, brought to perfection. And in that, we say that Islam is Judaism made universal. We claim a unique relationship among the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians. With them, we claim a unique relationship. That Islam is Judaism made universal, is the teaching of Moses, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, made universal. The Jew says that God Almighty is absolutely unique. He has no partners, he has no sons. God is not seen at any time. No man can see God and live. And we give our hand of exceptions to the Jew that we believe as you believe. The Jew says, no eating of the flesh of swine. We say we won't eat it. He says, no eating of blood. We say we won't touch it. He says, no, he says circumcision. We say we are circumcised. What more do you want? We would say that Islam is Judaism made universal. And we also claim a unique relationship with the Christians in this, that Islam is also is the only non-Christian faith which makes it an article of faith for its followers to believe in Jesus. No Muslim is a Muslim if he does not believe in Jesus. We say that we believe that Jesus was one of the mightiest messengers of God. We believe that he was the Messiah, the Masih, translated Christ. We say we believe that he was born miraculously without any male intervention, a miracle of God. And we believe that he gave life to the dead by God's permission, and he healed those born blind and the lepers by God's permission. The only real difference between us and the Jew is, we say, is political. With the Jew is political. The Muslim and the Jew are fighting for a piece of land. We say, my brother, the Arab, he says Palestine belongs to him. The Jew says Palestine belongs to him. Both my brothers and my cousins are fighting for a piece of land. It has something to do with politics. It has got nothing to do with race. It has got nothing to do with religion. I am speaking to my South African audience. This is how I present my case. With the Christian, we are the closest in what I have just mentioned now. His birth, his position, his status, his miracles. The only point of real difference is that we say he is not God Almighty in human form, and he is not God incarnate, and he is not the begotten Son of God. These are the points of real difference. Otherwise, the Quran, the manner, the nobility in which it describes the birth of Jesus in the Holy Quran, Surah, in the Holy Quran, we read in Surah Ali Imran, chapter 3, verse 42, وَإِذْ قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمُ. So behold, the angel said, O Mary, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اسْتَفَاكِ وَتَحَّرَكِ وَاسْتَفَاكِ عَلَى نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ. That God Almighty has chosen thee and purified thee, chosen thee above the women of all nations. يَا مَرْيَمُ قُنُتِي لِرَبِّكِ وَاسْجُدِي وَارْكَعِي مَعَ الرَّاقِعِينَ. So, O Mary, worship thy Lord devoutly. Prostrate thyself and bow down in prayer with those who bow down. ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ نُوحِيهِ إِلَيْكَ. That this is part of the tidings, of the things unseen, which we reveal unto thee, O Apostle, by inspiration, and so on. In these verses, when it is read to them, to the non-Muslim, especially the Christian, and more especially the Roman Catholic, an amazing thing happens. When we read the Quranic Arabic, the Arabic of the Quran, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and give its translation, the effect that it produces on the listener, we see their eyes well up with tears. And they can't seem to believe their ears, because they have been programmed from childhood into thinking, into believing that we Muslims are the Antichrist, that we are the enemies of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. When we tell them that we believe in Jesus, we say that he was the Messiah, we believe in his miraculous birth, we believe in his many miracles, in my country, my people, the people who are ruling us, they are thinking that we are trying to curry favor with them, we are trying to be nice to them, that if we say a few good words about their Jesus, maybe they might say a few good words about our Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is not the case, which would be hypocrisy. We have to show them the Quran, and we make them to see, and we read it to them and explain to them, and they bite their fingers. Metaphorically, they bite their fingers and say, look, we were thinking that this was just the opposite. And if they read this, and I told, showed them, demonstrated to them, that this birth of Jesus, as narrated in the Holy Quran, is a nobler and a sublimer version of his birth than anything to be found anywhere. Because when this good news was given to Mary, we read in the Holy Quran, she says, قَالَتْ رَبِّ أَنَّا يَكُنُوا لِي وَلَدٌ وَلَمْ يَمْسَسْنِي بَشَرٌ. She says, oh my Lord, how shall I have a son when no man has touched me? Physically, sexually. In other words, she had no relationship with any man, and how is she going to have a child? And the answers to that, as we find in the Holy Quran, قَالَ كَذَلِكِ اللَّهُ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ, said, even so, Allah creates what He wills. وَإِذَا قَدَى أَمْرًا, whenever He decrees a matter, فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Whenever He decrees a matter, if He wants to do anything, He merely wills it and the thing comes into being. We said this is the Muslim concept of the birth of Jesus. For God to create a Jesus without a human father, just like that. If He wants to create a million Jesuses without father and without mother, just like that. If He wants to create universes, millions and billions of them, just like that. وَإِذَا قَدَى أَمْرًا, whenever He decrees a matter, فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ, He merely says to it, be and it is. Now, this we have not shared with our fellow countrymen in South Africa. It seems like a novel thing to them. And rest of the world also, we have failed miserably in presenting the Quran to the unbeliever. In South Africa, we have started translating this book into Zulu, the language of the majority of the sons of the soil, the African. There are some 7 million Zulus in my part of the country, 7 million, the biggest number of people. They are like what the Quraysh were in Arabia. These people are among the Africans, the Zulus. So we have translated the Quran into Zulu. We have translated the Holy Quran into Afrikaans, which is the language of the ruling race. And this was all done by the help of the Islamic courts and affairs of Doha, Qatar. They helped us, alhamdulillah, and their help has gone to such great extent that we have been able to do all these things. And I urge upon Muslims everywhere that they take up the Quran and read it to our brethren, our fellow countrymen, our visitors, our tourists, our expatriates. Read it to them, make it available to them, let them see the Quran for themselves. Because they have some mysterious ideas, mystic ideas about us. They don't know what is happening in the masjids. They don't know what we really stand for. They don't know what the Quran really says. And this volume that has been produced in your country here has been most useful, because this one is a unique translation that this man, Yusuf Ali, Abdullah Yusuf Ali, Allama Yusuf Ali, some 50 years ago he did this job. And he has been able to arrange for us such fantastic system that you read the verse of the Quran and you have the translation side by side, so you can also, the Arab can also improve his English. And a very comprehensive index at the back of the Quran, and this index puts everything on your fingertips. Anything you want to know, you know about Jesus, open J, and under Jesus you'll find a dozen different references. You want to know about Moses, under M you find Moses. You want to know about marriage, about divorce, everything on your fingertips. You can refer to it in two ticks. May Allah bari ta'ala, you know, make it possible for you to have access to this book of God and use it for the propagation of Islam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Walan tarda anka al-yahudu walan nasara حتى تتبع ملتهم. صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم. My dear brothers and sisters, on Wednesday, the 14th of March 1984, in your Gulf Times, there was a beautiful cartoon. And this cartoon portrayed the would-be president of the United States, a candidate, trying to reach the presidential seat, the White House. But in this cartoon, our brother Ittihad shows that any president of the United States has to pass through the Star of David, meaning the Jews. Without the Star of David, there is no success for any president or would-be president to the United States seat. Now, this Star of David represents the 6 million Jews in America, which forms what is called the Jewish lobby. Now, without the support of the Jewish lobby, no president can be ever elected to that seat. If they have the moral support and the vote support of the Jews, the president can be nominated. Now, the secret of this was revealed by President Truman in 1948, the power of the Jews. In 1948, Israel, this Jewish state in the Middle East, in the heart of the Muslim lands, in Palestine, they established a Jewish state. And within 2 minutes of the Declaration of Independence by Ben-Gurion, President Truman, he recognized Israel. Within 2 minutes. As if Truman, like a young man, a young groom, at his wedding ceremony, he was just prepared to say, when questioned, "Do you take this woman as your lawfully wedded wife?" And he was waiting with open mouth just to say, "I do." And within 2 minutes, President Truman did exactly that. He says, "I do. I recognize Israel." Subsequently, a reporter, a newspaper man, meets Truman at a press conference and reminds him and says, "Look, what was all the hurry for? You know, in due time, you could have recognized Israel like the rest of the countries of the world. But why the hurry? You know, there are 100 million Arabs. And these 100 million Arabs will get offended with you." In answer to that, President Truman, he said, "There are no Arabs in my constituency." Meaning that no Arabs voted me into power. The people who vote me into power in my constituency are the Jews. So I have to placate the Jews. So the secret is, you need people in America to have that power of vote, what the Jews have. They have 6 million bulk vote. Now, how are we going to put 6 million Arabs into America? Because America will not allow that, except for a few brilliant brains of ours. Brain, when they go for education, they like to keep them there, exploit them. But as workers, as laborers, or for any other reason, if you want to go there, most probably there are barriers which you can never overcome. So how are we going to get 6 million Arabs, or Muslims, or Pakistanis, or Bangladeshis, who might be sympathetic to us, our cause, in America? Impossible. The only other way is that there are people in America who are called the Afro-Americans. They are now being described as the Bilalians, the people of Hazrat Bilal. These Bilalians, these American Negroes, if we can have them converted to Islam, and I can assure my brothers and sisters that at a less cost than the price of a fighter plane, this thing can be done. If we are prepared to do dawah work among the Afro-Americans, in less than the price of a fighter plane, we can have the 6 million to counterbalance the Jewish vote. But now, secondly, the Americans have been programmed, they have been brainwashed into believing that Palestine belongs to the Jews. Now, this sickness had been developed over a long period of time. And the manner in which it was developed was that this Christian Bible, which is the book of authority for the Christians, this Christian Bible more than two-thirds of it, more than two-thirds of this Bible is called the Old Testament by the Christians, which means everything before Jesus, which was the books of the Jews, that the Christians have now owned up, they have inherited, and in that portion of the book called the Old Testament of the Holy Bible, they say that God Almighty had promised Palestine to the Jews. And they quote from the book of Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, in which God Almighty is supposed to have told Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam that I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Now from that, the Jews and the Christians have taken that God Almighty had promised Palestine to the Jews. But when we analyze this so-called prophecy, this is a prophecy, a basharat, which is supposed to happen. When we analyze it, we find that it is not true to history. Because if this is the word of God, and if God Almighty had promised it to Abraham, that I will give unto thee, to you, O Abraham, and to thy seed after thee, meaning your children, all the land of Canaan, in actual fact, when we read the book of Genesis at the end, we find that when Abraham died, his sons Ismail and Ishaq went to bury the father, Abraham. But when they went to bury him, there was not land. They didn't have land to bury the father. So they went and bought a piece of land sufficient to bury the father. And the Bible says, this book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, it says, and Abraham didn't have enough land to rest his foot upon. In other words, this was not the promise of God. But even if we accept it as such, what does it say? It says, I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Now, who is the seed of Abraham? When we ask this to the Christians, they say the Jews. When we ask the Jews, they say we are the seed of Abraham. But are not the Bani Ismail, the children of Ismail, are they not his seed? In this very first book of the Jewish and the Christian Bible, in the book of Genesis, that is the first book, no less than 12 places we read. In chapter 16 of Genesis, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, he pours out a prayer. And in that prayer, he's asking Allah Bari Ta'ala that Ismail, his firstborn, his son, may Allah give him long life and health and prosperity. So Allah says, according to the Bible, he said, I will, as for Ishmael, I have heard thee, means I have heard your prayer. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation, because he is thy seed. Somewhere else again in the same book, and as for Ishmael thy son, and again as for Ishmael thy seed, no less than 12 places in the so-called Torah of the Jews, which is this first book of the Bible, which is the first book of Genesis, no less than 12 places Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam is referred to as the son and seed of Abraham. So, if he is also the son and seed of Abraham, why should they be deprived of this privilege of living in their own motherland, in their own hearts and homes? But now, since the Christian has been programmed and the Jews has been programmed, we have to deprogram them, reprogram them. And without this reprogramming, we have not taken the trouble to discuss this matter among the Christians, to show them the anomaly of their position, that what you are claiming, that this land belongs to the Jews, in actual fact, it does not belong to the Jews. How did the Jews become possessors of the land? We know that in history, when they came out under Hazrat Musa alayhi salam from Egypt, and under Joshua, they went and conquered the land by force of arms. And by force of arms, if one nation conquers another, how does it entitle that nation to have the moral rights to such a property? So it is something that we have not done, and because of the lack of response on our part to reprogram, to put our case forward to the Jews and the Christians, we are, you know, suffering more than what we ought to. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Allahu akbar.
adjoining the Juma Masjid Durban are the offices of the Islamic Propagation Center International. The center began its modest activities in 1958, over 25 years ago, with one dingy office. In time, the center was forced to acquire two more offices. Now, with warehouses facilities in three different places, it is finding all its facilities still inadequate. The Porbandar Madrasa Trust, a charitable organization, has taken pity on our plight and has set in motion a plan to build a 250,000 rand project in the mosque square next to the Juma Masjid itself. From printing and publishing pamphlets and booklets on Islam, the Islamic Propagation Center has reached the 100,000 target for each of its publications as a first print. From booklets and cassette tapes, the center has now ventured into the video field. The center can boast a unique distinction of offering more than 20 different video programs on Islam, which, sad to say, no Muslim country in the world can offer. Subjects like Christ in Islam, is Jesus God, what the Bible says about Muhammad, Muhammad the greatest, Islam and Christianity, is the Bible God's word, was Christ crucified, and on. We urge every Muslim who own a video machine to create a library of our world-class video tapes and make his home a miniature TV station of Islam, and inviting his Muslim and non-Muslim friends to see them. May Allah reward you in all your sincere efforts in propagating his deen. Ameen. Write today for our free Islamic literature on comparative religion. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله